Hello, Marquette basketball fans. Welcome to another edition of the Golden Break. I'm your host, Adam Woke. Shout out to the production squad, Matthew, Robert, Micus, Dr. Michael, Keegan, and Jeffrey Gibellina Esquire. This pod does not go without their support. We got a doubleheader today. You're going to hear from Ben Steele. Him and I are going to talk a little bit about what it was like to be in the stadium for that Big East Championship celebration. And then Tyler Kolek is back on the pod, and we got a lot to talk about.
We got
about.
Ben Steele. Let's back in the house. Ben, how we doing, brother?
Good, man. How'd you enjoy that coronation game the other night? Did you have a few of those 77 beers? Were they?
Dude, first of all, I could not get my hands on any of those goddamn beers. So any of you listeners out there that can get me one, please. I tried. This is what this is about, right? We're going to just paint a little picture. I think it's nice to just go through what that day was like, because I got to be there as well. And I started my day off at Major Goolsby's. I needed, and what I wanted to go there specifically. One is, I love their beef with the Mecca. Like, I don't know. Yeah,
yeah. It's so petty.
It's so petty. Oh, absolutely. All day long. Absolutely adore that beef. And so I wanted to be in the environment. And coronation is a good word, because like, it was such a celebratory environment. Yeah. I mean, it also may have made a difference that I pounded three beers in an hour, but I just couldn't help it, man. Like, I was consumed with the excitement. Like, I don't know. It was a buzz in the room.
Was there a good crowd there?
Yeah, it was packed. It was packed. And I mean, it was packed by 11. So people were ready to drink and ready to party and have a good time. And that's what I think was so much fun about it is, I mean, college, it's different when you're going through all that and you're drinking outside and you're partying with everybody. But like, now as an adult, it is really cool to see the buzz that it brought the city.
Yeah. Plus you know, you've been a fan for a long time, you know, the ups and downs, and you know that this is the season that you got to cherish, man, because they don't come around very often, you know? And
they don't. Well, hey, maybe they will. Maybe this is the beginning. I'd like to be, but you know what?
You never know. You never know. Windows are always shorter than you think they're going to be. So you just got to enjoy it while you can.
Absolutely. What was it like, you know, just as the beginning of it, like, did you get a little of that vibe too, especially in the stand record setting?
I was just walking around, you know, you saw me when I was doing some radio over in the concourse.
I love to come say hello to you over there.
Our friend Brian D, shout out to him, has me on. And then after that, I walked around the concourse a little bit, and you know, people were taking their pictures with the Big East trophy, which is pretty cool that they did that.
It was a long ass line, man. I just kept walking, and I couldn't believe it. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'd like to have my picture with the trophy. I just didn't have time to wait that long.
Did you get to see the people celebrate on the court? I couldn't tell, you know, I'm busy after the game doing my little game story. But then when I was walking down, did they announce over the PA system that the team was going to cut down the nets or anything? Cause I figured more people would stay, but I know there's a Bucks game later. So I think they wanted people to kind of exit, you know, judiciously. Yeah.
Well, you know, and so we got really lucky. One of our guys got box seats, humble brag.
Oh,
I know, dude. I was living the big life on Saturday, man. I came home. I passed out at like 7 o'clock that night because I had just between like the amounts of joy I was consuming mixed with beer and shots of Fireball. It took me out. But so we were asking the guy, because he's like, you know, after the game, we're going to have to get you guys out of here and you're going to have to get down. We're like, well, you know, hey, did you know, is there a ceremony? Are they doing anything? And he's like, well, I don't know. They think I might do something. If they do something, you can stay. I was like, all right. So as the game, they pulled ahead. In the beginning, I had all eyes on the game. And then a bunch of college buddies were around and we were just reminiscing, talking about stuff, which was really cool. And then like, I turn around, I'm like, what the hell is going on in this game? I was like, man, they let St. John's back in this bad boy and made for a very exciting ending. But then they got on the PA and, you know, and started to bring the ladders out.
Okay.
They had confetti guns.
Yeah.
They had several confetti guns actually, which I was pretty impressed by.
Yeah.
So it was pretty cool. And then seeing both sides, so they took ladders on both nets, and like, yeah, the coaching staff and managers, they got up on one side and the players got up on the other. And, you know, they're doing, you know, snow angels, yeah, on the players and the confetti. Like, it was really awesome to see them. I feel like they finally got to enjoy it. You know what, yeah, I mean? Like, you've been around the team. Like, what's that vibe like been like when they actually clinched it and won? Because it's like, well, you know, we won. And what was that? I mean, that buildup had to have been awkward.
Yeah, on Tuesday and at Butler. So there was a pretty good Marquette contingent there. I think it was a big donor game, you know, wanted to see the team clinch the Big East tournament or Big East regular season title for the first time outright. So I think they had flown like some private planes of donors there. There were some pretty heavy hitters there. And it was, you know, that game was never in doubt, much more than the St. John's game at the end there. So everyone could kind of anticipate it at Butler. And there's a big cheer at the end. The players hugged on the court. They stayed out there while Shaka did his little TV hit afterwards. And then they all like ran through the crowd, through the, you know, Butler Hinkle Fieldhouse is pretty small. So like, it's pretty cramped down in the back corridor. So they, you know, there were a bunch of Marquette fans there and they rolled through there and the locker room's right off to the side. And I didn't go in the locker room, but you could hear him just like when Shaka walked in, and I'm sure you saw the video where they were just pouring water all over him and everything. And then I was just hanging outside after Shaka did his press conference. I was just grabbing players and was just, you know, they were just ecstatic, man. And Ben Gold came walking out with the big, huge Big East trophy, which is like massive, man. And it's like, he said, I didn't hold it myself, but he said it was super heavy. So it was cool to see that. I snapped a picture of that and talked to Joplin and Tyler and Cam afterwards and a bunch of the coaches. Yeah, they were excited. And then they all went and got milkshakes after their
which is so
wholesome, man. It's just so wholesome. So
you know what? I think you did the story where you dove, yeah, into the milkshakes a little bit. And, you know, something that it reminded me of is because, you know, Shaka talked about how back in the day, you know, the coaches are up till midnight, 1 in the morning, yeah, watching film, and be like, it's time to get some shakes. And that is literally the exact same thing we used to do when I coached, was, yeah, except we would get milkshakes and burgers. And it was always like at night, because we knew we were going to be up late and just eat dog shit food. No one sleeps because they have heartburn. You know, yeah. I think it speaks to what that camaraderie was like. Mm-hmm. You know, you share a meal. Like, I always find meals to be something that are like great community builders. Mm-hmm. And I to see him like sort of carry that with him through his life and bring it into this team here says so much about how reflective he is about moments that are important to him and he wants to utilize and try to bring others around. And I feel like I do that as a parent, like shit I used to do as a kid. I'd be like, oh my God, I take my daughter out to do. You bring people together that way. I think that just says so much about who he is as a reflective human being.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I agree with that. And then back to the Saturday at Fiserv, I got down there. By the time I had finished my initial story, the on-court celebration was going on. So I went down there and then I walked onto the court and talked to a few people. I think it was just cool. What I'm going to remember about that was, Cam doing the confetti snow angels for sure. He was screaming like, you know, they doubted us, or I can't remember what his exact words were, you know, some very Cam Love Jones
it.
Type thing.
Love it.
And also going to remember him, he was hugging all the coaches' kids, like little kids. And it was just like, yeah, it's another incredibly wholesome.
Damn moment. It. I love that. I'm a sucker for it.
What I'm remember is like all the, you know, all the behind the scenes people, like, you know, everyone cheers the players, but like all the managers, like all the support staff people, you know, Barb Keller, they shouted out on the, during the game, she's, mm-hmm, been the behind the scenes maestro for the team for 20 years since the Final Four team in 2003. She does all the logistics. Like, I don't think the coaching staff would be able to function. Like, I don't know if they could feed themselves without her.
Coaches can't do a lot outside. It's hard for them to
book your own
life.
Plane tickets. Yeah, they can't. Yeah,
and that's not nothing about the Marquette staff, but those guys at any sport are just so zoned in that sometimes like normal things of life are just elusive to them. Yeah, so you're like right. That's awesome about the staff.
Yeah, it's like the absent-minded professor type of guys. Can't function in the real world. But so just seeing them, like Barb climb the ladder and her daughters were off to the side. There were like tears in their eyes. And the managers, you know, those guys do so much. They had, they got their own pieces of the net that they got to take with them. So it was just cool to see that. I think that's probably when I imagine that night in my head, I'm going to remember that the most.
Those are cool things to have. I mean, also, how apropos for Tyler Kolek to be on the top of the ladder and they start playing country road.
Yeah, someone had that queued up. I got to figure out who had that in the hopper ready to push play.
Yeah, that was a great choice. And if I remember correctly, and Ben, you're a better historian than I am, but there's some history with that story, right? Didn't Buzz do something?
Yeah, that was where it first started. Like it was at Morgantown. They had just beat him. Like he had suspended a bunch of dudes for the first half, so it was like a super tight game. They won on the road, and then he was going over to ESPN to do, you know, the post game coaches interview with I think it was Raftery, and it was right in front of the student section. So while he was walking over there, and they're playing that song, and then he started like doing a little stroll right in front of the doing a little shimmy and dance right in front of the student section. It, you know, predictably they just went nuts, and you could see it on the TV. Like he's going in to put his headset on, and you know, all the West Virginia fans are, "I'm gonna kill you, I'm gonna kill you," and then you could see like security move in just like in the back of the TV shot, like making sure they can't get to him on live TV, you know. So that's where it first started. And then I went Tyler's thing and at the Charleston tournament last year when they beat West Virginia. And then the Marquette fans in the building, there were a lot of Marquette fans at that tournament, and they started singing that at the end of the game. And, you know, Tyler's doing it like a very Tyler thing on the free throw line when in the last minute of the game.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to have him on tomorrow. I'm asking him what he said. If you know, don't tell me now.
I don't. I've got some cleaned up versions, I believe, from other players. So I don't know whatever the other players told me, I don't believe that was the real story. So
I'm going to see if I could break them. You know, give them a couple nice CDs. I'm going to warm them up with a couple of real softball questions. And I'm going to sneak it in there and see if I can extract the truth. Because the man's psychological game that he plays is really fun to watch. Like he reminds me of like guys that you would actually hate to play against, which are players that are typically really good, right? Guys that play that type of game. But it was cool for them to play that song. And also considering what we, you know, saw not too long ago, I love that we just give it to the West Virginia fans. I have no idea why, but I'm sure they hate us much more than we actually think about them.
Yeah.
One last thing. What do you got coming up here the next couple of days? For those of you listening, I'm talking to Ben on Tuesday night. I know he's hitting the road in the morning. Tell us a little bit about what you're most excited about outside of the basketball. We know the basketball is going to be awesome. We're all excited for that. But what's really cool for you to be a part of over these next couple of days in New York?
Yeah, man, there's nothing like just being inside Madison Square Garden, man. Just like, you know, they call it the world's most famous arena for a reason. It's just, man, you can feel the history when you're inside there. And, you know, you're in there and you look up and you see the tiled ceiling that's up there. And you remember all the Knicks games you watched in the 90s playing the Bulls. And New York crowds are a different vibe when it's going strong, when it's a hot building and they're on the officials with the New York accents. Man, there's nothing like it, man. It's like the best. It really is like the mecca, man, for basketball. For if you can see a really good game there, it's awesome. And then just walking in the back of the in the corridors, they got all the posters of all the events that's happened there throughout the history of the building. You know, it's like, you know, Rolling Stones, Exile on Main Street tour 1972, Muhammad Ali versus, you know, five different guys from over the years and all these posters back there. And man, you could just feel the history. And then it's like, you know, I go to so many games that, you know, it's like Tuesday in February and I walk out of the building at like 1 a.m. and it's like cold and dead silent. And but you walk out of the garden, man, at 1 a.m. and it's like hopping. There's places open to eat. You can go get some beers if you want to anytime, you know, bars close at 4 a.m. there. It's just, man, it's just a different vibe, you know?
Yeah,
just,
New York's a special place. New York's a special place. You got a spot that, like, you got to go to, you like a favorite, like, pizza place.
No, there's a bagel. There's a bagel place. It's called Best Bagel, which is, you know, perfect because it actually is the best bagel. It's like, it's right near the garden. It's on 35th Street. Actually, I haven't Googled to make sure they're still open this year, but they've been there. They were there last year, so.
Are you like a breakfast sandwich guy? Like you like to get there for that? Definitely. What do you go with? Like an everything bagel?
There's like the egg, cheese, and what they call pork roll or
The Taylor ham.
The Taylor ham, yeah.
Oh God, it's East Coast spam is what I call that.
Yeah,
stuff.
I like it, man. I dig it, man.
Well, listen, man, travel safely. We always appreciate your time. I don't want to take up too much of it. Have a great time this weekend. We're going to talk again soon. We ain't done yet. We got some more basketball to play.
All right, bro. Appreciate you.
Adam. All right. We are here with the one and only Tyler Kolek. Tyler, thank you so much for joining the show.
Thanks for having me on, man.
So listen, I read the article that came out today from The Athletic. And I want you to kind of just reflect and tell me what it's like since the moment they talked about where you walked into the weight room where Cody Hatt was and was kind of a moment for you where kind of got some stuff off your chest about how anxious you were about the year, about what you felt like, what your worries were going into it. And that must have been a real vulnerable moment, right? That's to come to terms with some of the stuff that, you know, has been bothering you and that you were worried about going into the season from that moment to where you sit right now. You know, I know this is a team sport and I know every award you get, as Shaka says, is a team award, but for yourself personally, how has today felt with the flowers that you guys have been given, the accomplishments you've had since that conversation you had with Cody?
Yeah, it's been great. I mean, all the recognition that not only myself but my team has gotten, Coach Smart has gotten, it's been special. It's a lot different from you know, early on in the year, media day, and you know, we were off at one of those side tables at media day, nobody really talking to us, and I'm sure that'll be different next year, but we still got this year to focus on. And like you said, we scrimmaged Loyola Chicago, and I don't know, I think I might have had 2 points. I was 1 for 9 from the field, maybe. And, you know, I was just spiraling back into that dark place that I was in last year when the games were going on. And, you know, it was right after I was actually getting some shots up, and then he was in the weight room on the bike, and I kind of went in there. And you know, I have a great relationship with Coach Hatt, as with all my coaches. But you know, me and him we got something special just because he's a New England guy. You know, he knows people I know. He gets, you know, the root of where I come from. And so you know, I just opened up and became vulnerable and really just told him how I felt. And I mean, honestly, almost broke down, like you were saying, just on the verge of tears, because I know all the work that I put in to get to this point and to get to even that point. And, you know, it just wasn't showing through the way I wanted it to. And so, you know, just through conversations with him and even early on in the year, I mean, I wasn't putting up special numbers or really even, we were winning games, but I wasn't, you know, 2 points. I think I had 3 points against LIU, like just stuff like that. That kind of, you know, it kind of all gets resolved with winning though. And that's the place that I was in. Just, you know, I don't care about my numbers. I don't care what I get. All I care about is winning. And that's kind of how I started off the year and just built momentum from there. Just kept caring about winning. And then things kind of fell in place.
That's a tough shift to make mentally, you know, when that anxiety about, you know, we all have in different worlds, right? We all have things and jobs that we do and that we have anxiety about and self-doubt and things we go ruminate in our head over. Can I do this? Am I good enough? I'm not good enough. To overcome that train of thought, to stop the negative voice in your head, takes a lot of courage and effort and vulnerability. How has this coaching staff set up a culture to allow you to take a very courageous step that, you know, I think as a society, we're getting a lot better about, you know, mental health and the anxieties we all feel and our willingness to be vulnerable. But, you know, listen, sports is a little bit of a different culture, right? It can be. So I'm just interested, you know, you had the relationship with Cody. What are the other things that you have felt like this place has created for you to do that and pursue overcoming those negative thoughts?
Yeah. One thing that's really helped me is we have this app called Vision Pursue. It's an app. We have a kind of mental coach that goes along with that. His name's Russ. And he really helps us, you know. It's on that app. There's daily meditations and daily readings that you can do and kind of really just help you focus on all the positives and help you kind of block out everything else. And that's definitely been a big help to me this year. You know, every night before I go to bed, I would throw one of those meditations on and just, you know, sit there in my bed, eyes closed, breathing until I fell asleep, kind of centering myself and letting myself just, you know, feel the day and not kind of overthink the things that had happened. And just, you know, the big thing is expect the expected and control the controllable. That's a big thing in the app. And so every day, just kind of controlling what I can control, putting in the work that I needed to put in, and, you know, not so much focusing on the result, because you can't control the result, but you can definitely control your process. And that's what I was really focused on.
Now, that's cool to hear. And I think that's cool, not just for fans to hear, but people to hear, right? Like, we all deserve to take the time to really kind of center ourselves, to take a deep breath. And so I think it's important that, especially coming from you, for anyone to hear that, and even future athletes. And so I want to stay on that app for a little bit, because, you know, it definitely helps you as the individual. Can you talk about how that converted to the court? You know, do you go through affirmations in a is your pregame routine about visualizations and affirmations? I'm interested in how you prep yourself before, especially some of the giant games you've already played.
Yeah. So we meditate before every game. We go out there, do our kind of pregame warm-up, and then we come back into the locker room and listen to one of those meditations. Or even if Russ is there, which he's here with us in New York, he'll take us through with kind of a pregame meditation. And, you know, those things are what you make them. And I feel like for me, you know, some anxieties creep up, and, you know, coming down the stretch of the end of the year, kind of having that player of the year on your mind. I mean, you can say that you don't have it on your mind, but when other people are talking about it, then kind of goes to the forefront of your mind. So, you know, just before the game, just wanting to play well and wanting to really succeed and wanting to win. So before every game, I got my eyes closed, I'm meditating, I'm just self-talk, kind of motivating myself, not to be perfect, but to really try and play for my teammates and play for the guy next to me and let things fall how they do. I mean, you can't, like I said, you can't really control the results. You can only control your process. So in my process, I'm really just trying to pour into the guys and just try and make sure that they feel good. And then in turn, that'll make me feel good.
Let's stay on the mental part of the game, but I'm going to shift the conversation. It's been a minute since we talked a little bit, but, you know, listen, you're not quiet out there when you play, which is something that I absolutely love. Like, you've got no problem speaking to the other team and getting in other people's business. I love that. Is that something you do? Is there a mental part of your game that when you're playing your opponent, that it's sometimes not just about strategy, but do you try to get in the head of your opponent when you're playing?
I mean, I'm not really talking shit to people. Kind of if they started, actually, so it was funny. We were playing Villanova and something happened. I think I missed a layup on Cam Whitmore, and he said something to me, and then he came back down, and then I said something to him after he lost the ball. And then he was like, who even are you? Who the F even are you, or whatever? And then I actually saw him on the stage today. And I said to him, I said, you know who I am now? And so it was pretty funny, kind of full circle. But I don't really talk unless somebody's talking to me. I'll kind of be more friendly. If I'm starting to talk to you, I'll be more friendly and kind of just making conversation, not really talking smack. But if somebody comes at me talking, I'll definitely talk back to them.
Hey, I get that, man. I can get that. Yeah. So that means, you know what the next question is going to be, right? St. John's down by one, 2 seconds left, first free throw, timeout. You guys come back on the floor. I saw you. I was there. What'd you say?
What do you think I said? I like to leave it up for imagination.
Dude, I could go to a million places. I got all sorts of things in my head. That I
yeah. Well, no, what were some? I saw some people talking about it. What do you think were some of the best things people thought?
Dude, there's some good stuff. There's a lot of profanity laced ones I've seen out there. When I talked to Ben Steele yesterday, he's like, I've heard tons of rumors about some things that are out there. He's like, I've heard him just say something as simple as miss it, or like, you ain't got this. People were getting creative. So I thought maybe this might be the time to clear the air.
I don't know. I kind of like the mystery behind it. I don't know. For some reason, I like it kind of up in the air, for interpretation.
Hey, you know what? I like that. One of these days, though, before you're done, we're not done. Hey,
maybe I'll tell you when the cameras are off, when the microphone's off.
There we go. That's totally fair. So it's been definitely a minute since we've talked, and I want to ask you about the offense because I have a couple of questions. It seems like, especially down the stretch of the last couple of weeks, and please, obviously, correct me if I'm wrong, because we all know I don't know what I'm talking about, but it seems like you guys have added just a few small wrinkles in your offense. I feel like I'm seeing a little bit more off-the-ball screens for Cam. I saw a really cool entry you guys did where you stacked two bigs at the top of the free throw line and the free throw line of the three-point line and initiated your action that way. As you guys have kind of gone through the season, especially as you play a team two times and now you're going to play a team three times, you're obviously not installing new systems, right? But there's opportunities for wrinkles. Am I seeing that? Is that something you guys are kind of evolving with as you play different teams?
Yeah, every team's going to guard us a little differently. So the coaches do a great job of identifying kind of little things that they want to put in if they see something a certain way. It can change game to game. They can put in a completely new kind of set play just for the game. And most of the time we'll run those out of timeouts and stuff like that, just because it's hard to put in a play in practice and shoot around. And then the day before, and then come into the game and remember it and run it. So, you know, we'll do that day before, put something in that they like. And then maybe after a media timeout or after just a regular timeout, we'll come out, you know, draw it up on the board and we'll run something like that. But, you know, just finding different ways to score. I feel like just not being predictable, because you don't want just me coming off ball screen every single time. You want to switch it up. You want to change this. Some off ball screens, like you said, some double screens with two guys stacked, like you were talking about. But we just trying to switch it up, stay in the flow and kind of mix things up.
Well, let's get a little deeper. Let's go to the Creighton game, right? Obviously they were drastically dropping call to guard the net. You know, they were really playing off of Oso on that role. And I want to ask you, I mean, it seems like you started to try to draw him out, not by taking mid-rangers, but like, even if it meant, you know, some floaters that were just outside of the box, was that your guys' intentional adjustment? Like, what did you guys talk about in order to try to pull Kalk away from the hoop a little bit?
Yeah, he's a great defender and he's big. He's a big boy. Yeah. You know, just kind of getting him away from where he's comfortable. He's really comfortable down there in that kind of two-on-one drop coverage that they play. So just kind of trying to drag him away from the basket and put him where he's not comfortable. And you know, it kind of worked to our advantage. So,
yeah, I mean, listen, statistics are not the end of the world, right? But if you looked over the last weeks, like, you could say our offense dipped if you looked at efficiency ratings and some of those things like that. It seemed more like you guys, to me, right, was you were adjusting to new adjustments. Like, what do you think? Is that the correct assessment? Or what do you think some of the things were that may have led to some of that dip, or is that kind of just nonsense that people need to throw that away? That's just not the way that we should be looking at the game or the way you guys played over the last couple of weeks.
I definitely don't. I think it's a little bit of nonsense just because in that stretch is probably the second time around when we're playing teams and, you know, they're trying different things. We're trying different things. And, you know, the Big East is a grind. It's just, you can get in some of those games that other teams like to muck it up and you got to go win a game that's ugly. And that's what we've done some of these games. That's what you have to do if you want to be a regular season champion. So just win the ugly games because not every game's going to be pretty. So I think it's more so just people looking too much into it. And I mean, I saw something the other day. Oh, Marquette dropped from first to fourth in offense. Like, are you going to complain about a top five offense anywhere that it drops one to five? Or so, I mean, I don't know. I don't think a lot of people know what they're talking about just because they're looking at some numbers. And, you know, you got to be able to play the game and have a feel for how the season goes.
Well, you know how Twitter goes. You know what I mean? Like, people will just look at a KenPom rating and say, oh, that's it. There's no way this team's going to. Like you said, you kind of have to watch the game because there wasn't any sense that you guys were ever playing poorly. Like, maybe you hit a cold streak in some shots. All teams go through it, and you have to grind through that and find other ways to win. If anything, to me, and you tell me how you guys compartmentalize some of this, but like, I feel like you found different ways to win games that are just really hard. Like, how do you guys talk through that as a team, right? Like, do coaches get out and be like, hey, you know, the offense didn't really do it. It was like, I'm just interested on how you guys look at those games.
Yeah, we're not so much focused on, you know, if the ball goes in the basket as it is the quality of shot and the process and how we're getting to it. You know, we don't like to play one-on-one. We don't like to take mid-range jump shots. We don't like to kind of keep the ball on one side. We like to get it moving. We like also getting catches in the middle of the floor. So it's just little stuff like that that can really change throughout the flow of the season, like I was saying. And but we mostly in a game like that, when we're trying to win in different ways, we're trying to focus more so on the defensive end that's what's really going to carry over no matter what coverage or what type of defense that other people are playing. As long as you're guarding, then you'll be in any game.
Let's move to defense. There's obviously been a shift in how you all apply full court pressure or three quarter court pressure, that sort of zone you guys trap people at the timeline. Obviously in the beginning of the year, you guys were implementing that all the time. And then you started to pull back a little bit. I'm just kind of curious strategically, are you guys changing the way that you look at pressure like that? Because obviously you guys can generate some great turnovers, but you know, then I got worries about legs. You know, I'm just curious on how you guys look at using that particular part of your defense.
Yeah, we did. We called it 12, which is kind of, last year we played it a lot more than this year. I think it's the 1-2-2 full court. We go to it sometimes just to slow some teams down. But you know, our primary defense is full court man-to-man, just, you know, Stevie, Sean, Chase, him, just pressuring the ball handler, dribbling off the floor, making him uncomfortable. And I don't think it was any type of conversation that we had. I just think, you know, we need to do what works and what works best for us. And we just feel like, you know, being solid and kind of, you know, while being solid, while still being aggressive in man-to-man, was our best shot to guard people.
I want to talk about you attacking the hoop. I noticed something in you and Cam that you do very similar when you're at the hoop. You guys do a great job of using your body and extending your arm out with the ball to keep the defender away from you. You especially have really excelled on that over the last month or so, and your ability to kind of create space with your body and then have your arm out. Is that, you guys work on that? Is that just coincidence that I see you and Cam do that? Is that some of the concerted effort that you're doing to just try to create more space for yourself?
I guess it's just two crafty lefties. but no, we're not the biggest guys. We're not the most athletic. We're not the fastest guys. So our whole lives, we've kind of had to be creative at the rim and figure out different ways to score. And, you know, he's one of the best finishers and most creative finishers I've ever been around as a guard. And so just trying to learn from him and take from his game, because I think he was shooting 60% at the rim early on in the year. I think his percent's probably still very high at the rim. But just trying to take what he does and implement that a little bit in my game, because, you know, he's a high level scorer. So you like to emulate success.
Well, I'm sure, you know, he picked up on some of that too in those games between him and Jop. I hear they get pretty heated, those one-on-ones.
Yeah, those guys go at it for sure.
How did it feel to see Joplin win the sixth man? Because, you know, for me watching him this year, you know, I think he had some struggles trying, I think, to really get into the defensive side of the ball. And what I have seen from him over the last month, I have been, especially on the defensive side of the ball. You know, I'm sure he saw some of his struggles. I know Shaka has talked about some of his struggles. In looking at the scope of his full season, I mean, what's it like to see him pull down that sixth man of the year award after kind of some of the ups and downs he went through?
Yeah, man, I'm really happy for him. I'm happy for any guy on our team that gets any recognition. Stevie actually got the athletic glue guy, the all glue team. So that was pretty cool. Also on Cam getting the second team nod. I thought that was really special. But yeah, we like to celebrate everybody's success. And Jop, I mean, he's a guy that's really important to us because of his offense, but he can also be very important to us because of his defense. I mean, when he's right, when he's down in the stance and has a defensive mentality to him, he's great, and he can stay on the floor. And when he doesn't have a defensive mentality to him, then he knows he's not going to play as much. So I think that switch kind of goes with wanting to be in the game and wanting to be a dude and wanting to be one of the guys that really impacts winning at Marquette. And to do that, you got to be on the floor. And for him to be on the floor, he knows that he's got to really play defense. So I feel like coach is on him every day. We're all the players are on him every day because we see how great he can be and how much he helps us. So just, I mean, I think at Butler, he had 5 steals in the first half, which was, I've never seen that before. And just his activity, you know, he's not the most athletic guy, but his basketball intellect, and even in practice, he's always stealing my passes because he's in the right spot and he can read the eyes of the passer. And so when he's turned up on defense, we're all turned up on defense.
Let's talk about Tyler Cole. Come out with your line of apparel, hoodies, shirts. What kind of led to you wanting to take that sort of entrepreneurial step?
Yeah, so I'd seen some shirts flowing around, seen some hoodies flowing around. So I hadn't been making anything off of those or I wasn't really involved in any of that stuff. So just kind of wanted to, after we'd won the Big East, I think I talked about it a week or two earlier with the person I'm doing it with, just talked about trying to make something. And we ended up coming up with the website and yeah, we got short sleeve shirts, long sleeve shirts, crew necks, and then a hoodie. I actually have a few hoodies with me on this trip. I might pull it out before the game. But yeah, it says the FM on the front with my name. I might make some modifications to this because somebody said to me today, you don't need Tyler Kolick on there. People know who said it. So I might have to take my name off of there and just let it be FM, and then the 2023 Big East champs on the back. But yeah, I mean, just something trying to maximize the NIL space and kind of take charge of that, because I hadn't done anything like that before and hadn't really had the opportunity to. So I thought it was a great opportunity and great time to get into it.
Art on the front, the one with the image of you.
What was that? Sorry.
Art on it, because I know there was like the one with the picture of you on it, or the drawing of you on it.
Yeah, so that kind of there was a famous picture of the 1977 team in like caricatures like that. And so person I'm doing it with, their idea was kind of emulate that picture as one of the most famous ones in Marquette history and just trying to roll with that. So
just spoke to the hearts of many Marquette alum who love a historical nod like that. So yeah. Did you hear that, people? Get out there and buy your shirts. All right, one last thing before I get you out there. How did it feel to hear Country Roads while you're on the top of the ladder and the neck is around, and then that is around your neck?
Yeah, it was full circle. I mean, I had heard it. It actually came on right before I went up there, and my mom was in the crowd and my aunt, who were both at that game in Charleston. And they always bring it up to me. So it was, I just looked in the crowd of them and started kind of mouthing the words. And honestly, I didn't even hear it when I was on the ladder, 'cause I was just, I was on 10. It was a special moment. And I actually cut the whole net down, which I wasn't supposed to do. I didn't even let Coach Smart or the president get up there to get a piece, but I cut a piece. And then I was getting down and everybody was like, cut the rest. And I was like, all right, I got a pretty cool picture out of it, so I'll take it.
Yeah, it was cool to see. It was cool to be in the house that day. Big East Player of the Year, Tyler Kolek, thank you so much, man. We are always so grateful here.
Thanks for having me on, man.
Man, we are so lucky here at the Golden Break. Thank you so much to Tyler and Ben. You guys give this fan base so much insider info. We're very lucky to have both of you. A couple of quick things before we let you go here. One, for those of you out in Twitter giving John Luisi a hard time for his article, stop it. You know what? Actually, I would say Shaka would agree. They do have more to prove. They have more that they need to get out there and do. That team is not done. Good article. I like the zag. I like to look at things a little bit differently. Shut up, Twitter. Get out of here. Leave the man alone. Second, know you should be mad at? Vegas. You're going to favor UConn in this Big East tournament? Lot of love out there for UConn, but I know what that team is. Our Golden Eagles are going to bring home a championship. I think they absolutely run the table. Call me a homer, but I don't give a shit. I'm happy you got to listen to the show today. Thank you to the greatest fans in college basketball. We'll catch you on the other side of the Big East tournament. We out!